Our study tonight is out of Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 17 through 46. A lot of verses here to cover. God's reversing the fortunes of Israel and Babylon for Babylon's destructive rebellion. The Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, Abrahamic covenant provided that God would bless those who blessed the descendants of Abraham, but curse those who cursed them. But God had raised up first Assyria to punish the northern kingdom of Israel, and then Babylon to punish the southern kingdom of Judah. Assyria and Babylon had mistreated God's people in rebellion against the Lord. Jeremiah 50, 17 to 46 predicts God's punishment for this sin, and we view it for our insight and application. It's a long passage, so what I'll do is read the verses as we get going through it. The Lord predicted that he would punish Babylon like he had punished Assyria, for the king of Assyria had figuratively devoured Israel, and the king of Babylon had gnawed on Israel's bones. Now read that, Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 17 and 18. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First the king of Assyria hath devoured him. Last this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bones, or gnawed his bones. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria. So this refers to Assyria's invasion and capture of Israel and Babylon's later invasion and capture of Judah, with God's promise to punish Babylon like he had punished Assyria for mistreating his people. Of course, Assyria was defeated by the Babylonians, but it's kind of like the dominoes effect. God sets these nations up and one nation knocks the other one off, and then another nation knocks that off, and so forth. It just keeps going. So, opposite Babylon's fall, God promised to restore Israel and Judah, when the nations of Israel and Judah would be purged of their sins. And, of course, that's a reference to the still future messianic kingdom of the Lord Jesus, when Israel and Judah enjoy the benefits of the Jeremiah 31:31-34 new covenant. We'll read that, verses 19 and 20. And I will bring Israel again to his habitation. He shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquities of Israel shall be sought out, and there shall be none. In the sins of Judah they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Obviously, this pardoning is something that's going to occur at the second coming of Jesus Christ. We read about this in Zechariah chapter 12 and chapter 13. Chapter 13, verse 1, God says, I will open up a fountain for cleansing from sin. God will cleanse his people at the time. It's going to be a wonderful time. However, the Lord said that he would punish Babylon for opposing him. In Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 21, go up against the land of Merathaim, even against it and against the inhabitants of Pekod, waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Lord, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. Very interesting here. Merathaim alludes to the region of Maratim, where the Tigris and the Euphrates River enter the Persian Gulf. That would be down near Kuwait. And Pekod alludes to the Aramean tribe Pekudu. But a wordplay is involved. Pekod in Hebrew means to punish, and Merathaim in Hebrew means double rebellion. So God would thus punish Babylon for her double rebellion against him. And in Hebrew, when an expression is doubled, it's intensified. And it means that Babylon would be punished for great rebellion against God. See, in Hebrew, if you want to say a person ran really fast or he tore, you would say, running he ran. Okay? Or, thou will keep him in peace, peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. We translate that perfect peace. But that's in Hebrew. If you want to emphasize it, you double it. And here, there's double rebellion. So it's a great rebellion that they've performed against the Lord. Well, in verse 21, God would thus punish Babylon for her double rebellion against him. And in Hebrew, when an expression is doubled, it intensifies it. So Babylon would be punished for great rebellion against the Lord. Jeremiah 50, 22-27 then presents God as calling for invaders to attack Babylon to destroy and plunder her. And verse 28 tells of the flight of the people of Babylon during God's vengeance against her. Let me read those verses, 22-28. A sound of battle is in the land and of great destruction. How is the hammer of the whole earth cut asunder and broken? How has Babylon become a desolation among the nations? I have laid a snare for thee, and thou art also taken, O Babylon, and thou wast not aware. Thou art found and also caught, because thou hast striven against the Lord. The Lord hath opened his armory and hath brought out the weapons of his indignation, for this is the work of the Lord, the God of hosts, in the land of the Chaldeans. Come against her from the utmost border. Open her storehouses, cast her up as heaps, and destroy her utterly, nothing of her be left. Slay all her bullocks, let them go down to the slaughter. Woe unto them, for their day is come, the time of their visitation. The voice of them that flee and escape out of the land of Babylon, to declare in Zion the vengeance of the Lord our God, the vengeance of his temple. All right. Babylon would thus also be invaded and destroyed because of her proud defiance against the Lord. In verse 29, God called for the invading army's archers to surround and entrap Babylon to repay her for her deeds of wickedness, for she had proudly defied the Lord God of Israel. It's interesting how this issue of pride keeps popping up. God hates it. And that was the sin of Satan. He wanted to be like the Most High, but verse 29, call together the archers against Babylon, all ye that have bend the bow. Camp against it round about, let none thereof escape. Recompense her, pay her back according to her work, according to all that she has done, do unto her. For she has been proud against the Lord, against the Holy One of Israel. Boy, it does not pay to be proud against God, I'll tell you. Accordingly, with God against Babylon, he would punish her by means of the invading armies. Verses 30 to 32, therefore shall her young men fall in the streets. All her men of war shall be cut off that day, saith the Lord. Verse 31, behold, I am against thee, O thou most proud, saith the Lord God of hosts, for thy day has come, and the time that I will visit thee. And the most proud shall stumble and fall, and none shall raise him up. And I will kindle a fire in his cities, and it shall devour all round about him. Well, the Lord would also punish Babylon for oppressing Israel and Judah in their idolatry. Noting that Israel as well as Judah would have been oppressed by invading Gentiles in the form first of Assyria, then Babylon, God predicted that though their oppressors had held them fast, refusing to let them go, their Redeemer, the Lord of hosts or armies, was strong, and he would plead their cause to give rest to the earth, but unrest to the inhabitants of Babylon. Verses 33 and 34, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the children of Israel, the children of Judah were oppressed together, and all them that took them captives held them fast. They refused to let them go. Their Redeemer is strong. The Lord of hosts is his name. He shall thoroughly plead their cause, that he may give rest to the land and disquiet to the inhabitants of Babylon. You know, if you were ever to visit the city of Babylon, it's even the ruins of Babylon are huge, huge, massive in their bricks, mud-bricked buildings that are still, you know, very tall, and although they're broken off. The area is covered, a huge area. And it was a very proud, a very dominant nation. And there's just nothing there. Nobody lived there. Just wild animals. It's just incredible what God did. But he got after them because of their pride. That's one of their areas. So God called for a sword against Babylon and all her social segments in verses 35 to 37. And a drought against her waters that they might be dried up in the judgment of her great idolatry. See, for a while, the great Euphrates River had actually flowed right through the city of Babylon. But Cyrus came and he diverted the waters, and that's why he went through where the waters had flowed under the city walls. He went through in and attacked the city. And the city, everybody was drunk. So it was very easy to defeat them. But the Euphrates River doesn't flow through the city of Babylon anymore. So it's basically a desert place. But we'll read that, verses 33 to 35, verses to 38. A sword is upon the Chaldeans, saith the Lord, and upon the inhabitants of Babylon, and upon her princes, and upon her wise men. A sword is upon the liars, and they shall be dote. A sword is upon her mighty men, that they shall be dismayed. A sword is upon their horses and upon their chariots and upon all the mingled people that are in the midst of her, and they shall become as a woman. A sword is upon her treasures, and they shall be robbed. A drought is upon her waters, and they shall be dried up, for it is a land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols, or they are insane on their idols. So, in Jeremiah chapter 50, verses 39 to 46, the Lord predicted the dismal end of Babylon. First of all, he predicted wild animals like hyenas and ostriches would dwell in Babylon. That's exactly what happens. Verse 39, therefore the wild beasts of the desert and the wild beasts of the island shall dwell there. The ostriches shall dwell there, actually. And it shall be no more inhabited forever, inhabited by human beings. Neither shall be it dwelt in from generation to generation. Babylon would be like Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring cities in their fall, with no man dwelling there and no one even sojourning there as a visitor. Notice verse 40. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of the man dwell, actually sojourn there. He won't even be there as a visitor. It's amazing. Well, the invasion of Babylon was thus prophetically and poetically described in verses 41 and 42, with the king of Babylon responding to that event with fear and anguish. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation and many kings shall be raised up from the coast of the earth. They shall hold the bow and the lance, and they are cruel. They will not show mercy. Their voice will roar like the sea, and they shall ride upon horses, everyone put in array, like a man to the battle against thee, O daughter of Babylon. The king of Babylon hath heard the report of them, and his hands waxed feeble. Anguish took hold of him, and pangs as of a woman in travail. This is an amazing prophecy, because at the time, one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, were in the city of Babylon. They actually took the water from the Euphrates River and by a series of paddles and so forth, lifted it up high. And they had these gardens that hung up high. And I think one of the kings had made them for one of his wives. And so this place was, you know, it was an amazing situation, the city of Babylon. Mammoth buildings there and so forth, and this place is going to be so attacked and so destroyed that even the king will be terrified. That's an amazing change of events, change of attitudes and so forth. God would use invaders to cause Babylon's people to flee from her like a wild lion scatters terrified game, and he would appoint over her whomever he chose to rule. Verse 44, behold, he shall come up like a lion. This is the Lord. From the swelling of the Jordan into the habitation of the strong. But I will make them suddenly run away from her. Who has chosen man that I may appoint over her? For who is like me, and who will appoint me the time? And who is that shepherd that will stand before me? That's the way we have to remember. God is greater than the enemies of his people. He's massive. I was reading today in a circular that came from Answers in Genesis, there are 1 billion stars estimated in the universe. I can't even wrap my head around that. A billion is a big number, but 1 billion stars in the universe, if you ever, that's estimated. That's massive. And of course, we can only see several thousand with the naked eye, and yet God makes 1 billion of them. He's just demonstrating his power, that's all. But here he is. He's taking the Babylonians on. So the Lord shared his plan of the great destruction of Babylon, what would cause the earth to tremble, and the cry of the fallen city would be heard among the nations. Verses 45 and 46, therefore, hear ye the counsel of the Lord that he hath taken up against Babylon, and his purposes that he hath purposed against the land of the Chaldeans. Surely the least of the flock shall draw them out. Surely he shall make their habitation desolate with them. At the noise of the taking of Babylon, the earth is moved. And the cry is heard among the nations. Now, there's the fall of Babylon is going to shake the whole world. But it's really going to be something. And it was something when it happened. So for mistreating his people in proud rebellion and opposition against the Lord, God Almighty would cause Babylon to be destroyed and be left permanently desolate, though he eventually would restore his forgiven people. You can see now why God is going to do a number on the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to go after Israel, and he's going to try to annihilate the Jew. That is the ultimate attack against people of God, and that's when God is going to take most seriously his Abrahamic covenant, and he's going to go after the Antichrist, and there's going to be the slaughter of 200 million soldiers. Poof! Christ is going to speak the word, and boom, all of these guys are going to die, just like that. So I'll tell you what, we should not mess with the people of God. We need to be very careful. So may we repent of proud rebellion and opposition to the Lord if we're guilty of it. And may we treat his people well. Now I know the Abrahamic covenant deals with the people of Israel. But you know, by way of application, Christians are people of God too. We're people of God. We are of the seed of Abraham by faith, children of Abraham by faith. So we need to be very careful how we treat God's people today, people who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, we need to honor all men. Yes, we need to remember that all men are made in the image of God, but believers are God's special people. We're a chosen generation, Peter says, a peculiar people that we should show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So may we be careful in how we treat fellow believers. Mm-hmm.